Hi, I'm Griffin. Before I continue, please like and subscribe. What I'm about to share isn't just a story of success, it's about survival, betrayal, and sweet, calculated justice. Picture a 14-year-old kid sitting at his desk, staring at a chemistry test. 98%, 2 points short of perfect. My hands were shaking as I heard Dad's footsteps approaching my room. The door slammed open. Explain this. Marcus, I refused to call him Dad anymore, threw the test on my desk. His face was that scary calm I'd grown to dread. You had a week to prepare. I studied every night, even skipped basketball practice. Clearly not enough. What happened to the other 2 points? Mom appeared in the doorway, wringing her hands like she always did when things got tense. Marcus, honey, 98 is still... Diana, don't. His voice cut through the air like ice. This is between me and the disappointment. That word, disappointment. He'd been using it more frequently lately. Every test score below 100, every piano recital where I missed a note, every track meet where I didn't break my previous record, they all added up to disappointment. I tried my best, I remember saying, my voice barely a whisper. Your best? Your best isn't good enough. Never has been. What college do you think will accept mediocrity? What company will hire someone who settles for 98%? Marcus, please. Mom's voice trembled. He's just a child. He's old enough to learn that the world doesn't reward second best. Marcus grabbed my laptop, my phone, even my alarm clock. No distractions until you learn to focus properly. I stood up, something I'd never done before during his lectures. But I have group projects to coordinate. The slap came out of nowhere. My cheek stung, but what hurt more was Mom's gasp, and then her silence. She just stood there, hands still ringing, eyes down. Pack a bag, Marcus said quietly. Essential clothes only. What? If you can't meet the standards of this household, you don't get to enjoy its privileges. He turned to Mom. Diana, call Sarah. Tell her she's getting a houseguest until further notice. Aunt Sarah, Mom's sister, who Marcus had always criticized for being too soft. The aunt who actually came to my games and recitals when my own parents were too busy. That night, they drove me across town in complete silence. My stuff was in one duffel bag, some clothes, my school supplies, and the photo album James had made for my birthday last month. James, my best friend, who didn't know he wouldn't see me at school tomorrow. When we pulled up to Aunt Sarah's house, she was already waiting on the porch. Even in her pajamas and robe, she looked more like a mom than Diana ever had. This is for the best, Diana said as I got out, her first word since we left our house. You'll thank us when you're successful. What they didn't know then was that they were right. I would be successful. Just not in the way they planned, and definitely not for the reasons they thought. The smell of Aunt Sarah's pancakes filled the kitchen, just like every Sunday morning for the past 3 years. I was 17 now, and her house had become more of a home than my old place ever was. Uncle Peter sat at the counter, reviewing business reports while stealing bites between pages. Griffin, your shift starts at noon, right? Since letting me work part-time at the local tech store, she'd become oddly invested in my schedule. Yeah, but I'm meeting James first. We've got something to discuss. Uncle Peter lowered his papers. That bright kid from your coding club? The one with the startup ideas? James had become more than just my best friend. He was the brother I never had. After I switched schools, he'd transferred too, refusing to let me face the rich kid sharks alone. Now we were planning something bigger. We've been developing an app, I said between bites. It helps small businesses manage their inventory and customer relationships. James handled the interface. I built the back end. An app? Rachel, my manager at Tech Hub, nearly dropped her coffee when I showed her the prototype during lunch break. She'd taken me under her wing the moment Aunt Sarah helped me land the job. Griffin, this is seriously impressive. Mind if I show it to some people? Those some people turned out to be local business owners. Within weeks, James and I had our first clients. Rachel's connections opened doors we didn't even know existed. Your margins look solid, Uncle Peter said one evening, reviewing our business plan. But you'll need capital to scale. He smiled that knowing smile. Sarah, remember that inheritance from my father? Aunt Sarah gasped. Peter, are you sure? It was meant for something special. He turned to me. Consider it an investment, not a gift. I expect returns. The app grew faster than we'd imagined. James handled client relations while I focused on development. Rachel introduced us to her network, and suddenly we were signing contracts with bigger companies. Then came the email. Griffin, honey? Aunt Sarah's voice was careful one morning. Your mother reached out? My hands froze over the keyboard. 3 years of silence, broken by a LinkedIn notification about our company's latest press release. She says they've changed, Aunt Sarah continued, that they want to make amends. I opened the email. Dearest Griffin, we've seen news of your success. Your father and I are so proud of what you've accomplished. Perhaps we were too harsh, but everything we did was to push you toward greatness. You've proven yourself now. It's time to reunite as a family. Love, Mom. James read it over my shoulder and snorted. Convenient timing, right when your app is making headlines. Very convenient, I agreed, clicking through some financial news sites. Especially since Marcus's company is hemorrhaging clients. Rachel had mentioned rumors about declining standards at his firm. Poor project management. Missed deadlines. Everything he'd once accused me of. What are you thinking? James knew that look in my eyes. I closed the email without responding. I'm thinking it's time to show them exactly what a disappointment can do. Uncle Peter walked in with fresh market reports. Their stock is dropping. They'll be looking for investors soon. Good. I pulled up our company's financials. Because we're about to become very interested in their business model. The empire Marcus built was crumbling, and I had just the blueprint to bury it completely. James stared at the numbers on his tablet, whistling low. Their company lost 60% of its value in 18 months. Your father really ran it into the ground. We sat in our downtown office, a far cry from that garage where we'd started coding. Through the glass walls, I could see Rachel talking to our legal team. She'd insisted on being part of this, saying someone needed to keep the revenge clean. Griffin, Diana's voice made me freeze. She stood in our reception area, looking expensive but tired. 3 years had aged her more than it should have. Mrs. Thompson, our receptionist started, but I waved her off. It's fine, Amy. My mother was just leaving. Please, Diana stepped forward. 5 minutes. Marcus doesn't know I'm here. James squeezed my shoulder and left, closing the door behind him. The silence felt heavy. You look successful, she tried, smiling. This building, your company. We always knew you had potential. Funny, I remember being called a disappointment. She flinched. We were wrong. Marcus was wrong. His methods... Methods, I laughed. Is that what we're calling abandonment now? He's changed, she insisted. The business troubles have humbled him. We've lost almost everything. Our house is mortgaged, investments gone. Her voice cracked. The board is meeting next week to discuss replacing him. I pulled up some files on my screen. Because he ignored digital transformation, refused to adapt, blamed everyone else for his failures. Sound familiar? Help us, she whispered. You're our only hope. Rachel knocked and entered with perfect timing. Griffin, those documents you requested. She placed a folder on my desk, nodding professionally at Diana. Mrs. Thompson. Inside were reports from Marcus's former employees. High turnover rates. Toxic leadership. Projects lost because he couldn't accept changing market demands. Everything he'd accused me of lacking, adaptability, perfectionism, focus, had become his downfall. You know what's ironic? I looked at Diana. That 98% I got on my chemistry test, it taught me something valuable. Nobody's perfect. Good leaders adapt. Great ones learn from mistakes. Please, she tried again, whatever you're planning, I'm planning to attend next week's board meeting. As a potential investor, her eyes widened. You wouldn't? Actually, I've been buying shares through various subsidiaries for months. Currently own about 28%. The board seems very interested in my ideas for digital modernization. The color drained from her face. Marcus will never accept this. He won't have a choice. Unlike some parents, I don't abandon failing businesses. James will show you out. After she left, Rachel perched on my desk. You know this is exactly what he would do. No, I corrected her. He would destroy the company out of spite. I'm going to save it, just not for him. The boardroom fell silent as I finished my presentation. 20 pairs of eyes darted between me and Marcus, who sat there gripping his armrest, knuckles white. So, I concluded, my company proposes a complete digital overhaul, starting with integrated management systems across all departments. This is absurd, Marcus finally exploded. You can't seriously consider letting a child who built a multi-million dollar company, board member Jensen interrupted, while you lost 60% of our value. Diana sat behind Marcus, face pale. Our eyes met briefly before she looked away. All those in favor of the restructuring proposal? Jensen asked. Hands rose, one by one. Even Marcus's oldest friends on the board couldn't ignore the numbers. The motion passes, Jensen announced. Mr. Thompson, given the circumstances, we accept your resignation. Marcus stood so abruptly his chair toppled. You planned this, he snarled at me. You manipulated. I learned from the best, I cut him off. Isn't that what you wanted? For me to be successful at any cost? Later that evening, as I cleared out Marcus's office, I found my old chemistry test framed on his wall. 98%. His final judgment of my worth. I left it there, but added a note. Thanks for teaching me that perfection isn't everything. Your 98% son just saved your life's work. Griffin. James found me staring at the city lights from our new executive floor. So, CEO at 21, not bad for a disappointment. I smiled. We did it our way. No burnout, no broken relationships, no toxic leadership. Speaking of leadership, Rachel poked her head in. Your first management meeting starts in 10. Ready to show them how it's done? I looked at my reflection in the window. I saw my 14-year-old self staring back, scared and alone on Aunt Sarah's porch. But behind him stood the family I chose. James, Rachel, Aunt Sarah, Uncle Peter. The people who believed in me when my own parents couldn't. Yeah, I'm ready. Sometimes the best revenge isn't about destroying your enemies. It's about building something they never thought you could, and doing it better than they ever dreamed possible. So what would you do if your parents came crawling back after abandoning you, only when you became successful? Would you show them mercy, or like Griffin, would you take over their company to teach them a final lesson? Share your thoughts in the comments below. I'm really curious to hear your perspective on family, forgiveness, and revenge. What lines would someone have to cross for you to completely cut them out of your life? If this story resonated with you, don't forget to like and subscribe for more complex family drama and revenge tales. Your support helps me create more content like this. Thanks for listening until the end. See you in the next story.